not a lot of thoughts about E3. Most of them are just, hey, Nintendo, you done did it. You released Smash. You released Smash. That's all I care about. Also, there's a Mario Party. That's fun.
That's a party.
But this one's a super party. This is Mario's super good time where he hangs out with all of his friends. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Brought to the Table. Today we have Diana Schulberg, Ian Walker, myself, Carter Van Hus, Caitlin Phillips, and Scott. This is a show where on most days we show each other things that we like or just find interesting or really want to just talk about. And normally we would have a freeloader, but this is going to be a very different episode. Let me preface this by saying, I think... it's the little things that let you know a person, right? So, what are your rules for when you have passengers in your car and you're driving? Or, what's your morning routine like? Or how do you organize your kitchen drawers? To me, I think that these questions don't always have particularly interesting answers. But when they do, they really let you know, what kind of person that is. And what they do on a day-to-day that makes them them. And so today I brought this question to the group and they're going to answer it with me. What do you keep in your bag?
What's in your purse?
What's in your bag? Wait, Ian, did you just say more bags?
Yep. I do. I have a bag full of bags in my room right now.
I mean, I also have a bag full of bags. It's called my bag bag.
Is this a bad joke? Because I'm really bored.
It's a really bad joke. Yeah, we've kind of gone off the rails there. The bag that we're choosing, it might not be a bag that we use every day. It's just a bag that we find interesting. I know my bag is just my everyday walk to work with it bag. But really, the question that I posed to the group was just a bag that's important to you and that you think would be interesting for us to take a look into and, crawl all up in that space.
Get all up in that bag.
And live like a gerblin.
Did I just watch the Scrubs episode where they put JD in the backpack?
Okay, so we're going to go in the same order that we always announce the host for the podcast. So, hey, Diana, what's in your bag?
So I picked my everyday purse. I'm a lady who carries around a purse, and I have many things in it. But I also wanted to say that Curtis's right. I love learning these little things about people, even if they don't think it's interesting. I love remembering things about them. Like, I remember that Ian doesn't like fish, and Caitlin likes white wine, and Scott, watching Scott play Super Smash Brothers is hilarious. And I just really enjoy learning these little things. So I was super excited to do this episode, and I picked my everyday purse. I was actually going to start with the purse itself because it's actually got a fun story. So this purse I actually had made for me while I was working in Rwanda. I was teaching kids for a study abroad group, and one day they had taken the group of us, my group, and we had gone down to the fabric market to have clothing and stuff made. You pick out fabric, you take it to the local tailor, the whole nine. And so we're going through this fabric market, which the lights keep going on and off because it's in the middle of monsoon season, so the power just kind of cuts out. And I'm going up to my translator, who's helping us sort through all these things and making sure we don't get ripped off because they're beautiful, amazing people. And I'm like, Clinia, what do you think of this fabric? And she takes one look and she's like, no, this is not at all worth anything. And then she walks me around, she picks out three fabrics, one of which is the one I ended up with. And she's like, these are worthwhile. And she was just so, confident and smart about it. And that just moment just always stuck with me. And so when I went to go get some clothing made, I asked them to make me a purse because I like having a big bag that I can throw a bunch of things in and have ready at a moment's notice. And this purse is actually really special to me. It's unique and one of a kind. And it's a wonderful reminder of the time I spent in Rwanda. And all the things I did there and the people I met and I was with and I taught. But some of the things I keep in my bag. So I normally have a pen and a paper, like some kind of paper on me wherever I go. I have a solid pen that's nothing too fancy, nothing that won't smear. And I have paper that can be easily torn out of a notebook. I usually have a small notebook with me. I did journalism for 4 years of my life. I spent time writing for different blogs and different things, and I've been asked to do a lot of writing samples, and I've submitted for quite a few publications for like fiction stuff. And so I have always found that I love having paper on me. Anytime an idea strikes, or anytime I need to write something down, or something is important and I need to remember it, or even that I want to give my information to somebody, I have always found that having pen and paper on hand, like a solid, reliable pen. I'm very picky about my pens. I know that's the worst thing in the world, and it's so small.
It absolutely is not.
I mean, it's fully
understandable. I have a lot to say about my pens.
My favorite pens is actually the one that I got from the Virginia Tech International Sciences and Political Science building, because it doesn't smear, it's very handy, and it writes forever. I've only ever had one die on me. It's so handy. But having pen and paper on me is always just something I've gotten used to the point where if I have a purse, I always have something to write with and write on. Also, if you're like, what happens if you run into somebody famous or somebody you want an autograph from and you don't have any pen and paper? I'm not going to ask them to sign my shirt or something. I have cute shirts. I'm not going to let them ruin it. One of the other things I have in kind of that same vein is I always have a small USB drive in my purse. After so many years of writing papers and people asking them to submit electronically, I don't trust people with them. I wrote this when I was in high school and I was taking an AP class, and this teacher was so hardcore, and I wrote this beautiful paper and I was so proud of it. And she's like, I just email it to me. All the students just email me your paper when you're done and you can come into class and we'll talk about it there. She lost it. She lost my paper because she insisted the only way that she needed it was by email. And so now, ever since that day in high school, I have always kept a USB drive on me because I never trust anybody not to lose anything electronic that I email or send them in some way, because I was so upset. This paper was beautiful. I always have sunglasses in my purse because not only are they functional, but I grew up in California where sunglasses are an accessory for every day. If it's raining, there's probably a chance I'm wearing sunglasses because I look cute in them. I look cute in many things, but they are one of the ultimate accessories that I always have with me. I always have a little, it's kind of a little compact. It's a hairbrush and a mirror. I have long hair. I usually have it tied up in a ponytail, which is why I have extra ponytails in my purse. But more often than not, I'm kind of running around and doing crazy things, so my hair gets messy and tangled often. So I usually have a small hairbrush. I have lotion and hand sanitizer because of the injustice that is women's bathrooms, especially in the college I just graduated from. You will be lucky if you get a dryer and or paper towels, soap, and running water all in the same bathroom. It's a lucky day, man. Too many times have I gone in and there's just no soap. There's no place to dry your hands, or there's just no running water. I also taught kids for a month, and I taught kids in a country where I wasn't, like, you had to be super careful about germs and blood, and if a kid was bleeding, we couldn't go near them because HIV is very big in Middle Africa and Rwanda as an entire country. So we had to be very careful about any kind of contact with that. So having hand sanitizer just casually on you at all times is never a bad thing. I kid you not, we used so much hand sanitizer while we were in Rwanda. Like, we served food to these kids, and every once in a while, when you'd be like, hey man, high five, their hand would be wet. And you'd just be like, don't think about it. Don't think about it. There's no water here. There's no running water here in this school, or in this general 5-mile block. Don't think about why this kid's hand is wet. So that was a time. And then I, of course, have my phone, my keys, and my wallet. And actually, there's a couple fun things in my wallet. I usually keep a coin purse in my wallet because I can't keep track of coins for shit. But the coin purse is actually something I picked up while I was in Venice. They had this really amazing leather shop while we were in there, and just all sorts of, like, really wonderful textured and colored materials. And I ended up picking up a small coin purse. I also have a train ticket from when I went to Versailles, just because it was small and it was fun, and I ended up almost locked in a train station at midnight in Versailles, and me and two other of my friends only got out because we shouted enough that some guy came over to the crazy shouting Americans.
Oh, no. Oh, that's bad. That's not fun. I mean, it ended good, so that's...
Well,
that's
we took
good.
The last train out of Paris into Versailles, and we had just managed to...
Love that song.
we had just managed to get in, and we realized that the gate to leave the station was locked. Like, there was no way for us to get out of the train station, and one of my friends who was with me was completely ready to jump the fence, and I'm like, wait, let's wait a minute before we commit what might be trouble in a country where none of us speak the language. It's midnight and there's no one around and we're kind of just yelling, hey guy, we don't know if you work for this train station. Could you let us out? And I was like, this is great. This is wonderful. This is a great first trip to France. I love it. I love it.
Sometimes this is how it be. You just get stuck in a train station and then you have to drive out in some Mini Coopers like in The Italian Job.
Yep.
How did this suddenly become a heist movie?
I love it. Guys, let's do a heist. I don't know what we're heisting, but let's do it.
We're recording. Don't worry, police.
Guys, let's steal a bank.
Diana, what else is in your fucking bag?
So I keep that train ticket with me to remind me of good times.
To not get locked in a fucking train station in Paris.
Yep.
It's a good reminder.
I was in Versailles. Thank you very much.
Oh, my bad. That's on me.
And then one of the last... actually really, really important things that I have is something else I came back from Rwanda with. We had been teaching with a group called OP Day, which takes in kids off the street and kids whose family can't support them anymore. And a lot of kids who have lived really rough lives, like, and I say lived really rough lives for the 5 years they have been alive. Well, I will always remember one of the kids. He must have been 7 at the oldest, and his entire right hand was completely scarred because he was abandoned as a kid, and so he was caught stealing food, and the shop owner dumped boiling hot water on his hand. And so a lot of these kids are just very guarded and jaded for really good reason, and here we are, this group of people who they don't know, who isn't going to stay. And we're just coming to, you know, teach them whatever, actually, all sorts of things. We taught everything from like English to curriculum to what have you. And so we actually really managed to bond with a lot of these kids, which was incredible because I didn't expect any of them to trust us. If I was in their shoes, I wouldn't. And so on the last day, one of the students in one of the classes I had been teaching the longest, his name was Pierre, really smart and intelligent kid, you know, we always thought he was like doodling in the middle of class and it would be so frustrating until we realized he was taking notes on everything we said and wrote down. This is like summer school for these kids. And this boy was taking notes on literally everything we said that he could understand and everything we wrote down. And it was just so impressive. And on the last day, he pulled aside myself and the two other teachers I had been working with. And he had given us, these were clearly really important to him. He had given my two co-workers necklaces with icons of Jesus, and he gave me a small little, like, kind of velvety icon that had the Virgin Mary on it. And to have this kid who has nothing, like, all the clothes he has are donated, everything he owns has been given up for him, the food he eats, the clothes he has, the education he's getting, shoes, anything. To have this kid give me something has just, it floored me in a way that I have a lot of difficulty describing, which I realize is not great for a radio show, but I realize that's not great for a podcast, but it was just a very indescribable moment of somebody who has nothing giving you something, and something that is so meaningful to them, and all you can really do is accept it and just be in absolute awe of this kind of person's life and heart and thoughts and meaning. And so I always keep that in my wallet with me. It is pretty much everywhere I go. I keep it on hand. I make sure I always have it. There was one or two times where it fell out of my old wallet because my old wallet was really old and it had a bunch of holes in it. But I have made sure that that always stays with me. And so those are pretty much all the things you will find in my purse. A lot of them are just kind of reminders or fun, like, scraps of paper sometimes that just remind me of something crazy or hilarious or something that I just always need and have on hand. And that's what's in my purse.
Well, fuck, Diana. That was really good.
So how are any of us going to follow up on that?
Oh, I don't know. That's a really tough one. Ian, you're next.
Fuck, how am I going to follow up on that?
I know, right? The shoes are big.
I'm sorry.
Shoes are real big. No, well, don't be sorry. That was so good.
That was so good. Really good. Well, you know, characteristic Ian, for me, if I'm not going to fill her shoes, I'm going to go barefoot on this one.
Ian, go right. Full Hobbit.
I mean, all right, take off. All right, shoes are off.
Shoes are already. I walked in through the door, and my shoes were halfway off.
That's fair.
I mean, come on. So much more.
Ian, what's in your bag?
So I'm just gonna go with the bag that I typically carry around with me in the back of my Jeep most of the days, because like otherwise I would just be using what's in my Jeep, because most of my work is done out of my vehicle.
I dig it.
That being said, most of what's in my bag, I've got normally a clipboard that opens up to carry the iPad that I use for my counseling work to do my progress notes on while I'm out seeing people in their houses and working with them at home or out in the community. Kind of an important part of the job. Then I've got another clipboard that's just a plain standard cardstock clipboard, you know, easy just to carry around, really light, really nice. I also have like two separate spiral notebooks. One is a three subject notebook that I use for different sort of work notes of looking through like individual ISPs, which are individual service plans that we use for our clients. And I'll just write notes here and there of, hey, this is something that I've noticed with them. So this is something that I can do as an activity with them later on. So like, if it's a kid that I'm working with and it's like, hey, they're having a lot of issues with like understanding this is how I feel whenever this happens, or I'm having trouble understanding what this emotion is or connecting this feeling with this situation and how I'm actually feeling. So if that's a situation, I would also have like my Uno cards and I'd write down, hey, we're going to play Feelings Uno. So just a fun game of like, hey, you change the color to blue, you talk about it. You just like give an example of a time that you were sad. You change the color to yellow, you talk about a time that you were scared. Red, time you're angry, and green, a time that you're happy. And just kind of like making a game out of it. So that way, hey, it's fun. You're not quote unquote learning anything, so you're actually going to participate, but you're actually getting something out of it. Essentially, a large part of my job with kids is like being the parent that like forces them to eat broccoli by not telling them it's broccoli. Holy shit, I've become my mother. guys, I'm done. I can't go on after this realization.
Wait, I have a question.
All right.
Yeah, what's up, Diana?
Of all like the games, kind of like the Uno that you were talking about, and maybe it is Uno, what do you find is the, I don't know, best, easiest game to kind of engage most of your clients and kind of get them, at the very least, like, talking to you?
So the thing that I found that works the best for me is actually nothing that I bring. It's what do they already play with? And, like, try to find a way to, like, work with that, because that's clearly something that they're already interested in. And so it's like, you are already, you know, going to spend time doing this. So if I can, like, sort of, like, associate myself with this thing that you already like, then we're probably going to get along a little bit better. And you're going to talk to me about this thing. A lot of the, I say kids, some of them are teenagers. A lot of them play Fortnite or like Rainbow Six Siege or like Call of Duty's like the zombie mode. And so it's like, oh yes, video games. I know this. I have actually played some of those. Hey, did you know about this thing here? And then it's instant, well, not instantly, but on sometimes it's like, hey, you're suddenly a lot cooler now that you actually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, all I can imagine to you right now is the guy who's like, hey there, fellow kids.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I too play
though.
Fortnite, a shitty game that nobody likes.
I think that's explicitly wrong.
And then they discover that Ian is bad at video games.
Excuse you. They don't know that because I don't play video games with them. I talk to them about video games because I don't want them to know how bad I am.
They might think that, but they don't know for sure.
Exactly. You know, always keep them guessing. Confirm. Throw them off the rhythm. All right. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, what else you got in
Why
that
are
bad
you
boy?
Trying to throw off these kids, Ian? I'm so
because
scared.
If I keep them off their rhythm, then they're going to keep talking to me because they're confused and they're trying to figure things out.
I wouldn't want to be thrown off my rhythm if I was scared already. Okay, all right. I believe you. You're the one who's trained in this, not me.
Let's just cut all of that out then.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I've got another spiral notebook that I use for like long form writing of like, hey, D&D ideas or story ideas, or hey, I actually have the ability to piece together three words today in a story that I, or a D&D campaign that I've been working on building for what, 4 years now? Yeah, fun stuff. I also have the Welcome to Nightville novel that I have yet to finish three chapters. Actually, I finished
Which
three
one?
Chapters.
Oh, the one I bought you.
Yeah, the one that you bought me. I've slowly been making it like my way through it page by page. So like in between sessions, if I have a long break, I normally will like go to the local library because like everywhere has a library and they're amazing. Everybody go to your library right now. Tell them hello. But no, so like, you know, I'll head to the local library in between sessions. And it's so, like, that's what most of this bag is for, is like, hey, I've got to, like, be prepared for, like, maybe having an hour in between, so I've got to keep up on my progress notes. I've got to try to keep myself awake and, like, motivated in the sense of, hey, I've got so many things bouncing around in my head, I need to get them written down. I've got, like, a smaller little notebook that I just, like, carry in my pocket whenever it's not in my bag that, like, I scribble out, like, hey, three words to remind me of this later because my memory sucks. And, like, half the time that I'll be, like, walking into someone's house to, like, have a session with them, boom, best idea for a campaign ever. And it's like, all right, scribble this out real quick, and I'll pick it up later. I also have, like, half of a peanut butter sandwich in a, like, Tupperware container that was my lunch today. So I don't know if that really counts as having it in my bag.
Wait, what was the sandwich?
Peanut butter. Peanut butter with blueberry and lavender jam.
Ooh. Yo, that's a that's a PB&J, dude. That's not peanut butter sandwich. What the f-
Ian.
Excuse me. It's amazing either way. So
wait, is the sandwich earlier still a sandwich?
Well, it's what else would it it's be? Half of it is there. I only ate half of it.
So it's half a sandwich.
Which is still a sandwich. Because you can get half a sandwich as a sandwich.
Hmm.
What joke are you trying to make here? I cannot piece it together.
Me? I'm not making a joke.
No, Caitlin.
You're going to have to cut this.
All right, we're moving on now.
All right,
move on.
All right,
Ian.
All right, and I guess, like, really the last thing that I really have in my bag is, like, three or four different pins that, like Diana, I'm very much like, these are my pins. They are nobody else's.
You're saying pens and not pins, right?
Pens, yes. Writing pens. Excuse me for enunciating in my own way.
Pans?
Yep. But
yeah. Pans.
Ian just has a bunch of pans in his purse.
I mean,
we need a cast iron segment.
Throwing back to the last episode, I wish I had a bunch of pans, especially cast iron ones, to carry with me. That would be awesome. I'd be clanking everywhere. Anyways, that's pretty much what I have in my bag. If we're going with Jeep, then I have, like, chess, checkers, giant fucking Uno cards. But, yeah, that's...
I can't make jokes about Uno. It'll come back to haunt me one day.
Yeah, Carter.
One day.
Well, that's about right, because it's Carter's turn.
Yep, it is time for Carter to go. Carter, what is in your bag?
So much fucking stuff, guys. It's gotten actually really bad this week.
Wait, which bag is it?
So this is my my work bag, the bag that I walk to work every day, or most every day, so long as it's not raining. And this is the bag that I use to tote things back and forth to work. Now, I don't really use any of the things in my backpack for work all that much. It's more of just a just-in-case bag in that instance. I actually have a lot of bags. You know, you guys know this, but the audience, you guys won't know this. I like to compartmentalize things. I have a bag for literally everything. I have one for work, the one I'm going to be talking about today. I have one for D&D. I have one for volleyball. I have one for disc golf. I have one for going to my dad's house and swimming in the pool. I have a bag for everything so I can just pick it up and walk out the door. I have like little cubby holes that I have in my apartment where there's one little cubby hole for each bag because I'm a 12-year-old and adorable. I'm adorable and you know it.
He's adorable.
I mean, I love how you know that that's the one that I'm like, I'm unsure. 12-year-old? No, we're all set. Yeah, we agree. The adorable?
Yeah. So, like I said, I went with my work bag, and I'm actually also going to talk a little bit about my wallet because there's some stuff in there that, that I think is interesting too. So in my backpack, recently I've been trying to learn how to develop iOS applications. So I've been carrying around the hand-me-down MacBook Air that I've got. It does, you know, it's 2010, so it's kind of old, but it still gets the job done. I just use it as a playground for me to mess around with and sort of, you know, learn how to do this new thing that I've never done before in my life. I think pretty much every other human who exists, have a little, like, I don't even know what to call it, like just a emergency segment of my bag, like a little pocket that's just like just in case stuff. So I'm just going to like burn through all those items real quick for you so you can sort of get an idea of what I think is important on the day to day. I've got cough drops in there. I've got allergy meds in there. I've got headphones, just like a spare set, not my actual set, just in case I have one set die. I have a Tide stick in there, a chapstick in there. I've got a flash drive in there. I don't have sunglasses in there because I wear regular glasses and can't wear real sunglasses like a real boy. I have gum in there. It's always 5 gum because I have to know what it feels like to chew 5 gum. And then I also have Pepto-Bismol tablets in there because I do know what it feels like to have heartburn. But really, I need like a tiny little clutch to put all these emergency items into, you know, just so I can be like, oh, time to get out my emergency kit where I have a bunch of garbage. So that's sort of like the emergency kit that I've got. I've got, like, Ian has his little notebook that he takes out and scribbles like a couple of words into. I also have one like that. Bought it at a Big Lots like 3 years ago for like $3. And I'm only about halfway through it, so I clearly don't write in it that much, but it has all my thoughts in it from like, well, for the last 3 years. It's got things from like D&D notes, and it has shopping lists, to-do lists. I used to track hours for a job in there. It's got notes from job interviews. It's got notes from an esports tournament that I ran. Like it has like the initial structure that when we were coming up with it, like I have those initial notes still. And it's just like, it's sort of a little snapshot of my life for the past 3 years. Just like, what was I doing on this date? Because I date every page so that I know when I come back, I can be like, oh, on, April 26th, 2015, I was, apparently thinking about Dungeons and Dragons and creating a character who was a monkey, but also, knew how to read.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, he's a great character, but that's what the tiny black notebook is. I had a little telescoping pen that was worth literally 3 times the entire cost of the notebook, and I've lost it. So that's fun. It used to sit right on top, but I've lost it. On the bag itself, not in the bag, but on the bag, I actually have a couple of things that I have on it. I have 2 buttons that Diana got me that are Overwatch League themed buttons. My team is the Dallas Fuel, Burn Blue. They suck. I know it, but I love Mickey. I have 2 patches that actually aren't even on the bag. They're in the bag right now that I've been meaning to sew on. One is an Avatar The Last Airbender patch for the Air Nomads sigil, I guess is what you would call it. I don't know. But I've always, like, everybody knows their Hogwarts house, and I feel like everybody should also know their Avatar tribe or Avatar nation, and mine is as deep as you could possibly imagine it. I feel like I'm an air nomad, and I also have a jacket with that exact same patch on it that my brother gave me once upon a time for Christmas, and it's one of my dearest possessions. I also have a patch for the Pine Guard patch or for the Pine Guard, which is a fictional organization in the Adventure Zone. I'm a huge fan of the McElroys and all their products, and the Adventure Zone is one of them, and it's D&D, blah, blah, blah. But it's just another cool patch for another series that I like. There's nothing much special about that. So that's all the things that are on my backpack. But what about the rest of the cool things that are in it? Now that I've gotten through the boring stuff, like a computer and medicine, and buttons. So Ian and Diana both carry around pens and paper. I, too, carry around pens and paper. However, I, they were like, you know, you guys have your pens. They're your pens, you know, and you find a pen and you're like, this is the one that I want to write with. A lot of people have a pen like that. I have a brand of pen. I know exactly what brand of pen I go into the store to get. And if you try to make me buy another one, I will not.
What brand is
it? I'm going to get you a gift that's like,
I will throw it away.
The pen brand, but it's going to be like the outside casing, and I'm just going to put a different ink like cartridge on the inside.
I will notice. I have noticed.
Wait, Kurt, what is it? I'm dying to know.
It is the Pilot G-2 7mm ballpoint pen.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Those in the five. Please send me a picture so I can upload that for the social media.
Diana, they're the ones that I use.
Yeah, yeah, right? The G-2 7mm ballpoint pens.
Yeah.
I like the, is it 7? It's not 7, sorry, 0.7 millimeters, not 7 millimeters. The 0.7 millimeter ballpoint pen. I don't like the 1 millimeter ones. I don't like the 0.5 millimeter ones. I only like the 0.7 millimeter ones. I also only carry spiral notebooks. I don't really like composition notebooks. I don't really like other types of notebooks. I am a huge fan of spiral notebooks. And the reason that I bring both of these up is... I think it's interesting, the things that are important to me versus the things that are important to Diana in my bag and in her bag, respectively. Diana's things are all reminders of things that have happened, and all except for a handful of things that I've got have become important to me, not because they carry a memory with them and that they're a symbol of that memory, but more along the lines of they are the memory. They gathered importance over time, as opposed to more or less having the importance when it was given to you or when you acquired it. Which I thought, as you were talking, Diane, I thought that was a really interesting distinction between our stuff. Because like my notebooks, I use spiral notebooks because you can fold them in half, so they can fit on small desks.
Wait,
you can.
I gotta know, is the spiral on the top or the side?
It's on the side.
Okay.
Only heathens use, you know, spirals on the top.
I feel like I've seen Carter use them.
I mean, that's not disputing my point.
Damn. So I studied physics in college. I have a degree in physics. And so with that, you have to write a lot of math very quickly if you want to take comprehensive notes. And while other degrees you can get away with, you know, typing and keeping up with the professor... it's very hard to type math. Like, it's just kind of, it's really hard to type math in a quick way. In fact, it's way, way faster to write it most of the time.
Yeah, I type like 120 words per minute and I can't do it.
Yeah, right. And so as somebody who majored in physics, who has a degree in physics, I had to learn how to write math really fast. And so I had to find, or I eventually, over the course of my academic career, found a set of pens that I liked. And I found... you know, how I like to use my notebooks. And so things like I use the spiral notebooks because they can be folded in half to fit on small desks, like oftentimes college classrooms have. You can rip pages out of them so that if you want to do your homework in the same notebook you do your notes in, you can do that without sacrificing the integrity of the notebook like you would with like a composition notebook. Spiral notebooks are divided into subcategories, so you can have more than one course in your spiral notebook. And even if I didn't reread my notes, I wrote them down. And, you know, I think, Ian, you would probably attest to this, you know, with your psychology degree. Like, just writing the things down makes it, you remember it, you know, even more so than typing, for sure.
Well, it's because there's more effort put into it with actually writing. It's less automatic, because with typing, you can kind of do that without thinking, but writing on a line or writing it down, it helps you stick it in your head a little bit better, because you're physically doing an action. Each letter is done differently, whereas typing on a keyboard, it's just pressing a button, but you're pressing a different button and a different button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I always prefer to write my notes, whether or not it's math or not. I prefer to write them down by hand, and I still have literally a trunk full of notebooks and things like that from college, even though I'm pretty sure I'll never use them again, because I just like the concept of notebooks full of notes. even more with the learning to take notes. When I was a freshman in college and started writing notes, a lot of mathematics notes, I found myself going back to my own notes and being unable to read them well because my letters weren't as distinct from one another as they could be. And that's something that in it, just writing English, I could get away with, but with writing a lot of math, I couldn't. And so I had to like make a deliberate effort to change my writing style, which has stuck with me to this day, so that I could read my own notes and so that my professors could read them. So, for example, the letter Z, I put a line through the letter Z so that I can differentiate it from the number two. I add an extra little flourish to my D's so that I can differentiate it from a partial derivative. And there's a lot of other things like that that I do. I change the way that I write the letter Q so that I could more easily differentiate it with the letter G.
So with your Z, you put a line through it. Do you put it horizontally or vertically?
Horizontally? Who puts it vertically?
Who the hell even are you?
All right, well, we'll have to have a deathmatch fight about our calligraphical decisions.
Wait, why would you later? Do a vertical line through a Z?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of figuring out.
Because it's just straight through the top.
That looks like a money sign then. But
that's
like,
the point.
But like you got really confused.
You got really confused. Oh, man, the United States. So that's my notebooks and my pens. That's something that's really important to me as somebody like who takes a lot of notes and writes down a lot of things, even though I don't have to do it anymore. That part of my academic career where I developed that, I was proud of, and it is just something that I really like about myself. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but I like it. Moving on. I have a Nalgene. Just like every other college student did, I bought a Nalgene and covered it with stickers. But this one is important to me, just like every other college student in their Nalgene covered in stickers. This
I would say it's more important to you.
I'm wait, getting what, there. Holy
wait, what
shit.
What is this?
It's a water bottle.
It's a water... Oh. Yeah, so the big, really big... I don't even know. They're probably like, 4 inches in diameter water bottles with like the screw tops.
Okay.
Like the one that I have, Diana.
Mm. Yeah. So they're, water bottles, just like every other college student has. And this was, I think, the best gift idea I ever had, which is weird because I own it. Caitlin and I, what was it? Summer of 2014, 2015?
2014, I think.
2014, that seems reasonable. Caitlin and I took a trip leaving from Blacksburg, driving essentially the entire circumference of Virginia and dipping down into North Carolina and Maryland as well. We took a week-long trip around the entirety of this wonderful state and visited a lot of landmarks. And so what I did was I bought myself and her 2 Nalgenes, and I decided whenever we stopped somewhere and we spent a little time there, we would buy a sticker, or 2 stickers, I guess, and put it on the Nalgene so that we would have this sort of time capsule of every location we went to during that trip. And so we did that, and I'm looking at it right now. It's the water bottle I carry back and forth to work with me, obviously, because it's in this segment. And I'm looking, I've got one from Virginia Beach. I've got one from Annapolis in Maryland. I've got one from Natural Bridge, Virginia, Luray Caverns, Roanoke, the Outer Banks. I don't think I'm missing any. Oh, one from Chincoteague as well. And that sticker's falling apart.
Is that the Protect Pollinators one?
That's the Protect Pollinators one.
That
has a bee on it.
But
yeah,
it's just not meant to last.
Yeah, it's a paper sticker that was meant for children to put on their shirts, not to go on a Nalgene that is now like... 2-3 years old.
I think it was actually 2015. But yeah, it says Protect Pollinators and it has a bee. How could we not?
Yeah. And then there's only one sticker on it that's not from that's not from that trip, and it's a sticker that just says Los Angeles on it from a different vacation that we took to Los Angeles.
2016,
that's right. And Venice Beach. I don't know. It's just a really nice little time capsule that means a lot to me, so I wanted to make sure that I brought it today to the table.
Yeah, it's just a time capsule of a bunch of happy memories. It's all good.
Yeah, I like that you can have one object that can have so many memories packed in, like just one water bottle, but with all these stickers and all these memories and thoughts packed into one.
Exactly. And that was entirely the point, so that we could, you know, just have, you know, time capsule is the perfect word for it. That's exactly what it is. And I love it. I do want to go over my wallet real quick, because there's also a couple of cute and adorable things in there, because I'm a cute and adorable 12-year-old boy. I have a monkey tool. That's what, like, the brand name of it is. It's just one of those, like, you know, sheets of metal that has a whole bunch of like, specialty cut holes cut into it that, you know, some of them are like, oh, you can use this on a hex bolt, or you could use this to open a letter, or you know, a bunch of utility things like that. But primarily for me, it's just a way so that I can always have a bottle opener on hand, because I'm definitely not an alcoholic. And the only reason that I bring it up is because it definitely has gotten me in trouble more than once at airports, because I forget it's in there. Like, the only time I remember is when somebody's like, oh, I need a bottle opener. I'm like, ah, good news, everyone.
Good news.
Yeah, I got mine confiscated at the airport the first time I went.
Yeah.
So, Carter, I brought you back a bottle opener. Let me tell you, that got me in so much trouble at a Rwandan airport when I had a knife in my backpack, and that did not get me in any trouble.
Oh, man. That's so,
like,
good.
Let me tell you, I had a, because I brought back gifts, because I like giving gifts. I brought back a knife for Connor. No problem. Went right through. Bottle opener? Oh, no. They had to stop that, inspect it, wave it with a wand, look it over, make sure it wasn't some kind of explosive device.
Oh, yeah.
So glad that my leg doesn't set off metal detectors. I would hate for them to confiscate that.
Oh, yeah. Just cut it off.
Yeah, I got stopped in India once when I was going through an airport, and they stopped me and were like, excuse me, sir, can you come over here? And as soon as they said, excuse me, sir, I was like, shit, I left it in my wallet. And I knew exactly what the problem was. And my friends were like, ooh, Carter, you getting in trouble in an airport halfway around the world? I was like, yeah, I know. I don't like it.
Are you in elementary school?
Yes.
He's a 12-year-old boy.
I'm a 12-year-old boy, and I'm adorable.
Adorable.
Okay, adorable. And so the other thing that's in my wallet that I wanted to bring up is three notes, and I'm just going to kind of group them up into one. One note from one of my dearest friends named Ashley, and it was a note that she sent me on a post-it note in an envelope to my freshman year dorm in college that called me a butthead and told me that she loved me. And I love that note so much, and I keep it with me at all times. There's another one from my sister, who has Down syndrome and autism, and so she doesn't really send me letters or anything, or when I lived farther away from her, she didn't. And so this was one that was literally torn out of a notebook that she clearly had taken her own initiative to send me. And, like, it's just a little note that says, "Hi, Carter, I miss you, I love you. Anna." And it's like, you can't read it anymore. It's in my wallet still. It's like 3 or 4 years old at this point, but it, I don't know. It means so much to me that, like, my brother and I got a tattoo because of it. Like my sister's name is tattooed in her own handwriting on my back and my brother's back. And so, like, it, you know, this one note that she sent me, you know, it means so much to me. And then the third note is a recipe for dosa, which is a savory Indian crepe, and I love them. And it's written on the back of a napkin, and it also means a lot to me, like the other two. No, it doesn't.
Because it's so delicious.
It's so delicious, guys. If you've never eaten a dosa,
find
your nearest Indian restaurant that sells them. It's harder to find than you would think, because dosas are traditionally considered like a breakfast brunch type food in India, and that's generally not what Americans eat Indian food for. So they're harder to find than your chicken 65, your chicken tikka masala. So if you ever looking for a tasty, savory crepe that is made out of lentils and rice and potatoes, look up dosa, D-O-S-A. Anyways, that's what's in my backpack plus my wallet. That got a little more emotional than I had intended it to, but that's kind of, I set myself up for that one, so that's on me. That's what's in my backpack. All right, everybody, that is the first part of our backpack segment. Next week, we'll be back to give you what Scott and Caitlin had in their bags. In the meantime, please drop us a like on Facebook and a follow on Tumblr and Twitter. On Twitter, we are at To The Table Pod. Everywhere else, we are Brought To The Table. You can drop us a line at broughttothetable@gmail.com. Send us submissions. Send us topics you want to hear us talk about. Send us topics that you just want to tell us about. We would love to hear what you have to say. I think that's all we've got for now. So we'll catch you next week. Bye. Oh, and Hawaiian pizza, as usual.
Yeah.
I have to, like, wipe my eyes because I was thinking about my sister too much. Hold up, I have jalapenos on my hands. This isn't going to go well.
Carter, no!
Carter self-destructing in real time.
All right, I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, I'm not, I had poblanos, not jalapenos. I'm good.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're alive.
Very big difference.